Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. There is a non-zero chance that there will be a sufficient amount of fire today, that you will need the spritzer. You will think we are worthy of it. I would predict that. Bulldog, how are you? It's hot.
It's nice and cool in the attic. It's hot outside. And
heat rises, though.
Heat rises, but this air conditioner is doing a great job. It's hot outside, and I don't know. I anticipate it getting hotter.
It's winning the battle, if not the war, the air conditioner to this point. Yeah. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you this without having talked about it with you already. I noticed that you didn't tweet last night as that incident downtown was playing out. And I'm prepared to of course, I want to say, of course, explain myself because I didn't either. Do you want to answer why you didn't?
There wasn't an effort made necessarily. It's just how it went. Like sometimes when so many people that you follow are saying what you would say anyway, I recognize it's important to be heard at a time like this, you know, as much as it's more important to listen at a time like now. I feel like there's just times where I don't want to be redundant.
Enough talking is already happening.
Enough talking, enough tweeting, enough seeing. I mean, once it's like Ice Cube and Ice-T are retweeting an image that scarily to me, I don't know, maybe a lot of people see this guy that gets knocked over and see a grandparent or an older relative or something and just think, like, that really could be someone that, it is someone that someone knows. It could be someone that I know. And for a moment, I had that thought last night, and so I was really freaked out by that. And then I don't know, I just couldn't really find the right thing to say, and I just thought this is already, this is already burning hard. You know, the ridiculous, the lying in the initial statement from the police, and like by the time I saw that statement, I'd already seen the video, so I don't, you know, it's a, you know. It's just a lot. It's just a lot to take in, you know. It's mostly just I don't want to be redundant. Is why. So it wasn't like I don't want to get into it. I don't want to get in the middle of it. I'm upset. I don't want to say something I'll regret. I mean, all those things are reasonable thoughts to have, I think, for anyone in this time. But I did not sit there and say, I got to stop. I never started to tweet something and stopped myself. You know what I mean? It was just one of those nights where I was just sort of numbly sitting and just scrolling and going, I can't really fathom that all of this is happening. And it's happening again, you know, just a few miles from where we, you know, it's happening in our town. It's opening. It's happening in our city, my city,
right.
Your city. Like,
right.
It's just hard. It's a lot to take. You know, I felt really the same way on Monday night when the scene unfolded on Bailey Avenue that ended with police being run over. I don't think I tweeted anything that night. It wasn't even until a few days later that I queried on Twitter, like, does anybody know why the police initially charged that the man that was being interviewed by Channel 4 in the first place? Is that connected to the thing with the SUV? Like, it was all, I just didn't have a lot of, but it took me a couple days to want to even wade into that and ask, you know, an honest question. And I mean, my mentions after that were really something. So that is
part of it for me. And if it's selfish, then I'd have to own that. But
yeah.
I feel like we have a platform, and we have also, I feel this way, positioned ourselves, as, to say the least, I think, being willing to talk about this stuff. I don't consider myself really, each one of these events is different in some way, particularly an expert on any of it. You know, like this is not stuff that, and whatever, say what you want. It's just not stuff I've really dealt with. Mm-hmm. Either off the air, let alone on the air. So I'm admittedly quite unsure of my footing. You know, mm-hmm. Police matters are not things that I get into in my head, you know, that I think about. And look, before somebody accuses me of, or anybody who would say that, of being in a bubble or being of privilege or anything like that, I admit it. I mean, that is true. And so last night, while I share a lot of the same, or shared a lot of the same feelings you did about, like, well, I will decide ultimately to stay out of it, or I'll just end up staying out of it. Mm-hmm. I was a little bit embarrassed about that. Yeah, I am a little bit embarrassed about that. And some of what is happening right now is an opportunity for some courage and for people to really find their politics or find their, like, what is it that they are for? And I am, you know, in process, right? Like, I think certain things we've talked about a lot this week and last week, I feel like I really know where I need to be. I really, when it's about race and opportunity and the certain ways that people can reveal racist feelings or prejudice without even really meaning to, I feel like I want to talk. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to talk, and I want to represent what my experience has been adopting two kids of color and having that conversation. This, I'm very much less sure of myself. Because I don't know this guy, and this is most of us, right? I don't know this guy. Some people do, but I don't know this guy and what he was saying to them and what he was doing. And I know it looks terrible, and it may be terrible. The statement pissed me off, like you.
Yeah.
I mean, the statement's unbelievable, and the statement
yeah.
The statement does the honest people a tremendous disservice, because like when you see tripped and fell as like the official statement, and almost none of those people would have any role in what the official statement is. Somebody reports what happened to the spokesperson, and the spokesperson does his thing. But when you see that, like, holy cow, how do you get there? And it makes, naturally, it brings out all the suspicions that people have in the first place that are swirling.
Right. Yeah, sure, of course. I mean, it You'd have to be well. You'd have to be in order to not end up skeptical about what you are being told, and then even if you can stand it, to catalog it, to think back to what you've been told in the past. Like something like last night makes you question all of that. The only time it wouldn't is if you are just so decidedly dug in that your response is it was 5 after 8 or something. You know, that makes it okay because the curfew had expired already. And, like, you know, and I think there are people there. Believe me, I watched a longer form video of that at our sister station's website, and the comments there are mind-boggling. And, like, the you know, at least the people commenting there are not, you know, they're not skeptical or questioning things. They're just get off the streets. And, you know, it's a lot to process. But it does, yeah, it makes you really want to question all of it, you know. And I guess if you really want to, like, stretch out on what keeps you or me, us, from wading into it at, you know, at night as that's unfolding, you know, it might be that anything you say is going to be taken to an extreme, and now you hate cops. Like, and that's what happened to me on Monday night. I got a lot of that because, like, I didn't even say a word about the cops that got run over or anything, or defend the SUV drivers or any of the stuff. I just asked, what do we know why the police charged that man that preceded the SUV running the cops over? And I've got, like, you know, Blue Lives Matter bots just climbing all, it's unbelievable how you get put in a hole or cornered because of a question. And I mean, it's very hard to not ask questions now, and big, hard, heavy questions. So it's just a lot. I have so many thoughts that I hope that today can, provide me some clarity in my own head as to what I'm thinking, because there's just so much to process. You know, what one of the prevailing thoughts I keep getting is so many people that care about, you know, humanity and about the ability to protest something that they feel is wrong, I think are being, you know, it's hard to keep going. But I see a lot of, this isn't who we are. Hey, Buffalo, I love you. And people, I think, mean that in the best possible way, right? They're like, I don't want my city to be represented like this. But I think the hard, unavoidable truth is that that is who we are. We are living in one of the most segregated communities in America. And we have been for all of our adult lives. That is where we live. And with that comes everything that is happening in bigger cities like Seattle and Boston and New York City. It just comes with it. And I don't think we can afford any longer to hide behind this is not who we are. That doesn't mean we're all racist, and that doesn't mean that we all hate cops. But it means we have the same problems, even though we're the 52nd ranked television market or whatever the hell we are, as Chicago and L.A. And, you know, there's just fewer people in mass that are having the problems. But the problems exist. Like, we're not protected from that. We're not exempt from that. We live in one of the most segregated communities in the country. And with that comes all of this. And I don't know what happens next, but I'm very nervous about today and tonight. Well, because what happened last night is, I mean, it's all over the national news. And to think that there's not going to be some kind of reaction tonight somewhere in the city, probably in Niagara Square, I think is naive. And so I don't know what everyone is prepared for, but I'm just telling you flat out, I'm distracted by how nervous I am about that.
I'll take the ball for a moment and say that, as I don't know if this what this will sound like, I need to stop worrying about it. The communication opportunities continue to abound. And what happened to this guy last night certainly could have been worse. And after the incident, after he was shoved to the concrete, it also could have been worse. And I just want to hope that every one of these incidents and protests, and even when there is violence from them, that people will sort of think about the greater good. And hopefully, you know, they're on all sides of the situation. Where do we want to end up? We want to prove our point. We want to win. You know, things like that are problematic. How do we want to end up? Do we want to end up in a city where we can trust each other more and get along better and trust authority and have authority trust us? Those kinds of things. I've told you already, like my struggle is partly about the communication piece. What do I want to say? I don't always really want to be talking. I'd rather be listening sometimes, mm-hmm. but I am here to be talking. And what I want to stand for is that, is hopefully there are enough level-headed people that don't really see this as a battle between police and citizenry or any two parties within, because it's all one community. And I mean, I just really want to see that win out. I don't know what to do about it, but the least I can do is say it, that there is room for that, and that is what most people would want to see happen, rather than some sort of a battle that grows and escalates and really causes more trouble. So it was just very unfortunate to see, again, like I am not really knowledgeable about police activity or matters, and it's just not an area where I studied and know very much. So I'm unsure, but it was so sad and disturbing to see nobody help that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what would be your human instinct? And nobody, like that might have been the rules.
Right. Right. What would be your human instinct? Especially now?
Especially right? now, like, because you know the consequences could be so much
right.
greater.
Right. Right. That, I mean, it is, I don't know. You're tempted to say things like it's unfathomable, but I mean that sort of flies in the face of everything I just said 5 minutes ago. It's not unfathomable. It's jarring to be reminded that is here and that is who we are. It's a problem that we have and we have to face and we have to repair. But it should no longer. I don't even know what's unimaginable anymore with what has been going on. You know, not just here, you know, I mean, there's been far, I'd say, I mean, no disrespect to this situation that we had happen in front of our city hall last night, but there've been far more disturbing images elsewhere. And like none of it is, none of it you can't look away from it, but you also almost need to look away from it. It's that dilemma of, like you said, the bubble. And
yeah, I need a little bit of bubble. I need a little bubble.
Right. There's like safety
sometimes,
in the bubble, but you know, maybe now is not the time for our own, like, you know, if it's, you know, just mental safety. And that's a lot of what I think we've been doing here all week on this show, is trying to just, you know, speak what we feel is our truth and what is productive and hopefully helpful, and encourage other people to do the same. And that requires staying out of our comfort zone. And maybe we're just going to have to adapt to not being in our comfort zone for the foreseeable future. We've already been. I mean, this whole thing is a crazy, like, maze, because I've been in my comfort zone for 3 months almost. I've been here. I mean, I got gas a couple times and I go buy some fruit.
You don't leave your house.
I'm literally in a bubble. I mean, what more could I want? I've got guitars and I've got records and I've got air conditioning and I've got beer being dropped off at my door.
Fred.
I mean, I am in a bubble, but yet everything around me requires that I get out of that. And it's just so heavy. Everything is just so heavy.
Yeah. Well, here is at least part of what else we'll do today. Carlin Hartman, who's been a friend of mine since high school, he is on the bench at Oklahoma basketball, and he is a leader in something new called Coaches Coalition for Progress. He was tweeting about it yesterday. He reached out to me about it, and I thought today could use some positive, and Carlin has not at all forgotten his roots. He's in the area frequently. He's doing a great job on the national college basketball scene. And this organization that he's helping to found is not just for coaches. So we'll find out more about what the point is, what the mission is, and whether or not we can together spread the word and do some good here.
Yeah, I'm really glad. You've mentioned him quite a few times over the years. I don't know if this qualifies as me meeting him, but I'm excited to meet him. You know, I mean, yep. However this will be, I'm excited to have him join our show. So good.
I get frequent comments from Carlin after Bills games from listening to our post-game shows. So
right.
He may just want to, I don't know if that's good or bad for your state of mind, but he may just want to grill you on some of your Bills takes.
Okay,
so we'll see.
Well.
Get your Oklahoma questions ready. Also, Sal Capaccio, we've been talking to Sal this week, of course, I think every day. And part of what has been going on with the Bills this week is assistant coaches have been available to the media. He has Brian Daboll today and also the special teams coach. Remember, the Bills drafted a kicker. Bass is his name. And Farwell, the special teams coach, had some thoughts that he shared on what the kicking position or the battle might look like getting into the summer. So we'll talk to Sal, of course, today. And if he's of the mind to, as always, give him the chance to weigh in on the heavier stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure he'll want to mention what he's got going on tomorrow afternoon. I'll save it for an hour from now, and he can
yes.
Pull us in. But he's got an event, I guess. I mean, I think it's a really cool idea, and so we'll let him fill in the blanks when he joins us at 4 o'clock.
All right, so glad to have you. We will look forward to your phone calls later as well, 803-0550. Carlin Hartman, Sal Capaccio, as we continue. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog on a very hot and sunny Friday. This is WGR. Welcome back. Thanks for being with us today. Got a guy on the line who has a new initiative, and it's our honor to help him promote it. Buffalo's own Carlin Hartman, Grand Island basketball star.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Class of 1990. Carlin, today was the day on the island, maybe like in a lot of places, where like if kids were still in school, it would be the day where they drive around, they get up early and honk their horns all day or all morning.
Yeah.
So they did some form of celebration for the seniors. I mean, nice to have you on, of course. I just think one of the really sad things about the last few months is how graduating students don't have their moment here, per se, and Bulldog's son Owen would be among them. Right, Carlin? I mean, you remember those days.
Absolutely. I remember them very well. I mean, you know, the honor of being able to, you know, walk with your class and, you know, be a part of, something so special as, you know, completing 4 years of an education. There's nothing like it. And, you know, like you say, our world got rocked upside down a couple of months ago, in the basketball world at least. March 12th, I think, was the day where Rudy Gobert here in Oklahoma City tested positive for corona, and then pretty much the whole world stopped. And that's really affected a lot, not just college basketball, but spring sports, graduations, weddings, everything. And so, we're just, good for the people of Grand Island that, you know, they were able to be recognized in some way, shape, or form.
Carlin, it's nice to finally get a chance to talk to you. Mike has spoken fondly of you many times over the years, so welcome to our show.
Appreciate it.
You're coaching young men at Oklahoma. Mike mentions my son is an 18-year-old senior. All across the country, you've got seniors that are missing out on this stuff. You've got athletes who missed out on the ends of their seasons, and then a lockdown that has lasted still through to now, and then on top of that, all of this that has happened in the last like 10 days or 2 weeks in the country. I wonder like how much thinking about like the kids that you work with and helping them process. Like I worry about the kids, like we think they're so adaptable and they handle all this stuff and they're used to taking so much in, but man, there's got to be a point where they hit tilt. I wonder if you thought about that much.
I agree with you, Bulldog. I think, and I think you see that just around the nation. I mean, it's not just the kids that I coach, but you know, a lot of the young people are out there, and there's most of the protests are peaceful, but then there's the protests that turn violent or turn to looting. And I'm not going to ever condone the looting part of it, because all you're doing is just ruining businesses, and it's not honoring Ahmaud Arbery, it's not honoring George Floyd. Those actions don't honor those particular men. But, like you say, sometimes you're just, enraged by what's going on and you need an outlet. And for us as college coaches, our players, know that they do have an outlet. They have a resource, and not just our coaching staff, but our university. We have a lot of programs on this campus. Our athletic director, Joe Castiglione, has done an unbelievable job with diversity and inclusion programs. And, we have those programs, for our student athletes, to use as an outlet and use as a guide, for them, when they need to talk to somebody or listen to somebody or their voice to be heard. And, it's great to work at a place like this that has the resources in order to do that. But, this is just one of those times, when something like this happens. To be quite honest, I'm very proud of our country just to see the response. And it's not just from African Americans, it's whites, it's Latinos, it's Asians, it's everything that this country was based and built on. The people that are protesting aren't just African Americans, and I'm very proud to see, a lot of the response that's gone on in this country, and I have a lot of hope that in the future we will be better because of it.
I am too, and I do too, and that's really cool for you to say. I agree with that. May there be positives that come from these developments over the last couple of weeks. Carlin Hartman with us on the West Shore Hotline. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog on WGR. Let's get to your new initiative that you're a part of, Carlin, the Coaches Coalition for Progress. Why don't you tell us how it came to be and what it does?
So obviously with everything going on, and obviously George Floyd and his situation, what happened in Minneapolis kind of spearheaded this whole thing. I've been in coaching for 20 years now, and I've come across a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds and ethnicities and so forth. A really good friend of mine who's a head coach at the University of San Francisco, he and his assistant, who's from West Oakland, were just brainstorming and talking about what they can do in order to make a difference. There's been a lot of statements being made, professional franchises, college programs from head coaches, organizations, and so forth, and all that is great and it's very heartfelt. But we talked about, you know, how we can actually, you know, make a difference in certain communities, and not just in places we're from, but hopefully throughout the entire country. And what we have come up with is this coalition, and we have a board of six people on it right now. Head coach Todd Golden, who's from the University of San Francisco, and a couple of his assistants, Vinny McGee, Kevin Huffy, Jonathan Safair, who's another Buffalo native. He's the director of basketball there at USF. He's also part of it. And another young man by the name of A.J. Cooper, who's on the football staff at Washington State. So, you know, the two main sports in college athletics are pretty much kind of taken care of in terms of with our board. And it's a good mixture of people on the board. We have two white guys, two black guys, a mixed gentleman, and you know, we just really feel like, you know, we have all come from different backgrounds, we've all come from different places, and what we really want to do is we want to target a lot of the inner city community centers, inner city low impoverished areas, you know, and give back. For me, before I moved to Grand Island and went to high school with you, Mike, I grew up in Buffalo, and I moved around from the east side and the west side, and I spent a lot of time at the Father Bell Center on the west side of Buffalo. After school, I would go and shoot around, or I'd go upstairs and play pool or foosball, whatever the case may be. You know, that's going to be a place that, you know, I'll look at targeting at some point. And there's a lot of programs and a lot of people that will get back to certain places like that, but we also want to try to expand it as well. We want to, you know, make bridge the gap between law enforcement and those community centers, and law enforcement and those particular communities. You know, so we have a lot of ideas and a lot of things in which we want to do, and we're in the infant stages of it. I mean, we just launched the Twitter page on Wednesday. We already have 600 followers, which is good. Up until this point, we only have the way you can donate is through email, but we've raised up over $15,000 already to this point. But what we're looking to also do is partner with bigger organizations. My boss and head coach, Lon Kruger, is the chair of the Coaches versus Cancer Initiative, and they partner with the American Cancer Society. We asked Coach Kruger and brought him on to one of our Zoom calls, and he just gave us a whole lot of really great information in terms of, you know, them, their organization, Coaches versus Cancer, helping our coalition get off the ground and so forth. So again, it's early, but what we want to do is kind of the Coaches versus Cancer model that started, you know, over 20 years ago by Norm Stewart of Missouri. And now you look at it and it's this massive organization. We like to hope and think that in, you know, we look back in 15 to 20 years, that, you know, we would have raised a lot of money and we would have impacted communities and impacted people and made a huge difference. And that's the hope and that's the goal.
And you don't have to be a coach to be a part of this.
No, not at all, not at all. I mean, we call it the Coaches Coalition, and we're targeting a lot of Division One, you know, assistants and head coaches and so forth that are in our industry and that we know and that are peers. But you can be a high school coach, JV coach, and you can just be a regular lay person. You know, if you want to, you know, help our organization, you know, get off the ground. And again, when I keep saying this in the infant stages, you know, there's a lot of things and a lot of ideas that we have right now, but we're also going to need some help. We're basketball coaches. You know, we're not in marketing. We're not in public relations or anything like that. So, you know, we're going to, you know, really be, you know, trying to make sure that this thing is not just a flash in the pan organization. We want it to be sustained, you know, for a long period of time. So we got to have the right people, you know, helping us get that word out, you know, and, you know, hopefully, again, this will be just something that we look back on and we'll be very proud of, and we would have been able to make a difference.
Carlin, what can people who are listening now that might want to, like, sort of keep track of this or even, you know, help out now if it's just in the form of a donation or maybe a suggestion of how to help market or who knows? I mean, where can people go right now? Is there a landing page somewhere?
Yeah, I sent Mike some information. Maybe he can put it up on the WGR website. We're on Twitter right now. You can see our Twitter page, and you can also read our mission statement. And we also have just an email address as of right now at this time.
Okay.
If people wanted to go to the email address, and once you put it up on the website, they can go to that, and they can follow the instructions of how to donate and how to give. And they'll also see some bullet points of just, you know, ideas in which we've come up with, and we would love to, you know, build and expound upon and so forth. So, you know, once our website gets going, which that should be by Monday or Tuesday when, you know, we can really start to hit the donations, and it'd be a lot simpler with everything now being electronic and so forth. You can just give your credit card and, you know, even almost earmark where you want this money to go and so forth. But we are looking to use our platform as college coaches and, you know, just do something other than sit back and watch what happened in Minneapolis, you know, 10 days ago, and, you know, just be a change and be a, you know, something that, you know, people can look for and say, you know what, I gave to this organization and I was able to make a difference in some way, shape, or form.
The Twitter handle is at CCF Progress, Coaches Coalition for Progress. We have Carlin Hartman on the line to discuss it. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog on WGR. Hey, Carlin, did you hear yesterday about the thing with Jake Fromm of the Bills?
You know, I didn't read about it, but I did. I saw just a real quick bullet point. I didn't see the comments. I didn't see anything like that, but I actually I have not read up on it.
So a text message of his from last year was made public in which he says words to the effect of that guns need to be for elite white people. And within maybe 2 hours, be available, maybe I should clarify that a little. Within a couple hours, he had apologized for it and also said that he had apologized to his teammates, most of whom he probably hasn't even met yet. This is a guy who was drafted this year, the quarterback at Georgia.
Yeah.
And the Bills made a statement about it, and Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator, said, you know, they're all just kind of like, you know, we'll figure this out. How, as a leader on a team, when you see or hear about comments like that, what happens? Is the person confronted? Is it more like the kind of thing where most people on the team, knowing that they have one goal as football teammates, would kind of be lenient about it? What do you think your reaction might be, or, you know, the average team's reaction might be?
Well, I think, you know, on the coaching side of it, my reaction would be that, you know, have a team meeting right away and let's talk about it. Let's discuss, you know, not only what you were thinking in the moment, but then, you know, like the reaction afterwards, you know, with the apology, you know, how have your feelings changed just because, you know, you made a social statement and it got brought back up. Do you really feel like this, you know, and whatever the case may be, and then let his teammates kind of talk and vent and just go from there. But I think you got to hit it head on. I don't think you can dance around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's obviously always going to be people on teams, you know, that have social stances, religious, political, and so forth. Certain things that, you know, you want to stay away from, but there's other things, you know, of social injustice that come up. Or gun reform that come up, and you want to be able to have those kind of open dialogue conversations because you are going to be, and for the Bills, I mean, obviously you're going to have 53 people on a roster, and that's a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds. So they want to be able to talk about it and hit those things head on. I mean, Drew Brees, he backtracked really quickly after the comment he made the other day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Michael Thomas came out and he was extremely upset. But then Drew apologized and Michael Thomas said, that's my teammate and, you know, we're going to move forward after the team meeting they had. You know, these things are going to happen, you know, on teams. And when they do, the leaders of the teams, whether it be Lon Kruger, whether it be Sean McDermott, and any organization, you just have to be able to, you know, confront it, open it up for dialogue, questions, and then, you know, you just hope and pray that, you know, whether it be someone's heart is changed or someone's, you know, thought process is for the better, you know, moving forward. And then you want to hope and pray that you know, the team, you know, on the field isn't affected, you know, or offensive lineman doesn't want to block for a guy just because he made a statement.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot. Sometimes it could be a lot bigger than what it really should be. And so, but if you don't hit it head on, it just festers. But when you do, you can knock it out, and then, you know, you can really benefit from that open dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of these times, like through these, you know, well, I mean, all through this pandemic, but now especially the last week and a half or so, the times I feel the most optimistic are when we're in a conversation like we're in now with you, Carlin, and I feel like it's time to make the point that the conversation can be good. And that continuing to talk about this can be good. And hopefully, if it makes everyone uncomfortable, then good. Let's keep making each other uncomfortable until we get somewhere.
Sure, sure. I like that, Bulldog. I think you're exactly right. You know, I look back. Mike and I have been friends for over 30 years. Mike and I went to high school together. You know, I got to Grand Island in 1990. I went to Campus West Middle School on the west side of Buffalo, and then my mom decided that we were going to move out to Grand Island because she was familiar with my uncle who lived out there, and he really liked it. It was a quiet place. The education was going to be better than where I was zoned at when I was living in Buffalo. And so I'm I was one of, you know, not that many, and Mike knows, I was one of not that many African-American kids that went to the high school. Mm-hmm. But I can turn around and I can look back 30, you know, years later and know that going to Grand Island High School was the best thing that has ever happened to me. I have lifelong relationships with a lot of people that don't look like me. I have a lot of lifelong friendships that I will always take with me no matter where I am. I always try to, you know, whenever I do something, whether it be this Coaches Coalition thing or, you know, coach at Oklahoma, you know, I always think back to my roots. I think about Coach Ross. I think about, you know, Cliff Scott, Brendan Staub, and a lot of my ex-teammates. I think I'm always in touch with Shope, you know, because, you know, it's hard to say, like, you don't see color, you know, when you're a minority, and especially in my situation back in the late 80s. You know, I saw color, but, you know, for the most part, 95% of the people I came across in my journey through Grand Island and up to Tulane, you know, were good-hearted people, you know. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that's really what all that matters. You're always going to face some type of, as an African-American man, you're going to face some type of racial bigotry or some sort of ignorance and so forth. And it happened to me, you know, playing in games. I can remember vividly, you know, a situation at Orchard Park. I can remember a situation at Lewis, Blueport. You know, that I won't get on the air in specifics, even though I remember that to this day, and I remember the people that said it and so forth. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, like, affect, you know, how I feel today, because I know that there's so many more people that I came across in my experience going to Grand Island that have made me into the person that I am today. And, you know, my relationship with Mike, you know, has only gotten stronger through the years, and it has nothing to do with his skin color. It's got everything to do with the kind of.
Oh, see, now Bulldog did not bleep you right there.
No, you.
That was just your phone. But thank you. I'm sure I should be thanking you for whatever that word was. Yes. Well, Carlin, I mean, it's always great to talk to you, and what you're doing is important, and, I mean, it's right-minded, obviously, and, you know, I think you're a great fit for our show anytime, but especially today, because everybody's tense.
Yeah.
And if you can, like you had to do, and sometimes in a different way, in a much less serious way on this show, we have to do because, you know, people come at you for whatever sports opinions or anything. Like, what you want to do is what? What you want to do is stay focused and realize what some of those comments are really worth. And very often they're not worth very much.
Sure.
So if we can kind of do that, and if the protesters and law enforcement and everybody involved can just try to think of what their role is in achieving what we want ultimately, then I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to say something that I think, you know, might mean something a little something good. But
no, it's fine. I mean, I was just thinking, you know, if your heart's in the right place and you're doing, you know, these protests, you know, for the right reasons, you know, I think all this conversation, I think all this dialogue is good. I think, you know, even on in my sport, assistant coach at Georgia Tech, Eric Revenot, he just put out a tweet one day, and all of a sudden it caught fire. He said we should have a mandatory NCAA day off on November 3rd when that's voting day, you know. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was great. I mean, it's understanding the people who are your leaders in not only in this country, but, you know, in your communities. You know, vote when it comes to, you know who's going to be the new police chief of police or sheriff or councilman, mm-hmm, or councilwoman or whatever case may be. You know, just understanding, you know, who you're voting for, why you're voting for them, and, you know, if you're doing it for, you know, selfish reasons, or you're doing it just because you're comfortable with the color of their skin, and, you know, that might not be the right reason. But if you're doing it because of the content of what they're proposing, that they're going to make a difference in your community, then, you know, that's how you should do it. So,
yeah, you know, figure out what you stand for.
Yeah.
Figure out what you stand for.
Carlin, before we're going to run out of time here, and you've already given us a lot of time, and we really appreciate it. But, like Mike told me before you joined us, that you regularly text him after Bills games with all kinds of hot takes about the game or our post game show. I'm just curious, how are you as a Bills fan, sort of living with the idea of them as a favorite for the first time in, I don't know, 20 years?
Since we were in high school.
Almost.
Almost. Yeah. Pretty much. When I was in college, we were a favorite almost every single year.
Yeah, it got boring.
Yeah, it did. It really did. I'd say it is, Bulldog. I'm a little bit cautiously optimistic, and the main reason why I'm cautiously optimistic is, I guess it would be twofold. Number one, I think Josh Allen made a really good jump from his rookie season to his sophomore season. And I think he's only going to get better. I know he had his moments in the Texans game that he would even concede that he, you know, needed to take back and eliminate the hero ball stuff. So I feel, you know, good about him, and I feel good. And number two, I feel great about the organization now. I mean, they're just in lockstep. I mean, between – obviously it starts with the ownership, but heck, I mean, when you got, you know, McBean going, you know, McDermott and Brandon Bean doing what they're doing, you got to feel good about the organization as a whole. And pretty soon it's going to be a matter of a lot of free agents going to start coming to Buffalo as a destination place, and they're not going to look at us as a laughing stock because the organization is so on point right now. So,
have you met those guys yet, Carlin? Have you met McDermott or Bean?
Yeah. A couple years ago, there was a basketball tournament in Hamilton, New York. It was actually a FIBA tournament. Under 17, and I came and I stayed actually up in Niagara Falls, so I can kind of split the difference. And Derek Boyko, the director of communications, really good guy, he invited me out to training camp, and it was the Josh had just gotten drafted, and I go out there to training camp, and a couple guys from UB came. Brian Boyden was able to come. Brian Hodgson was able to come out with me from UB, and it was great. So I got a chance to meet Coach McDermott, Brandon Bean. I got a chance. That was Kyle's, I think, last year, if I'm not mistaken. Got a chance to meet him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just really a nice day and a special day for me because I was able to go to a few Bills games growing up with my uncles when they had season tickets, and they would give me the extra ticket, you know, when one of them couldn't go. And that was a treat for me, you know, to see in the late 80s as they were building the thing before they started going to Super Bowls, you know, being able to just sit in Rich Stadium and see the Bills play. And,
right.
Everywhere I've gone in this country, you know, I make sure I get DirecTV for only one reason. My wife gets pissed. Every year we get that bill for, you know, however much it is, and it's really specifically just so that I can watch the bill.
That's it.
If the NFL could figure out another way that they didn't have to have DirecTV, I would just have a TV with nothing but apps on it, because I really only watch a few things, and I watch college basketball and I watch the Bills, and I'm a fan of the Bills, and I always will be, and I love what they're doing, and I feel great about the organization.
I can definitely vouch for your love for them. Well, you sound like you're doing well. Oklahoma finally did not have the first overall pick in the NFL draft. It had to be an adjustment. But this year, you know, better luck next year. And best of luck to you, Carlin. It's great to catch up.
Yeah. When, hey, you got to get a Division I hockey program out there, Carlin. I don't know if you can pull any strings. But
yes.
Yeah. Come on.
Why not?
Yeah. So one day I was riding. So when I first got here, I saw there was a ice rink in downtown Oklahoma City, and I was thinking to myself, what the hell is that for? Who's playing hockey down here? But they actually have a minor league hockey team in Tulsa. I think they're called the Drillers. It may be an affiliate of the Oilers, which makes sense.
Yeah, that would work.
But the closest hockey team we got to here is the Stars, and you know, I'm not very interested in that. The only thing I'd be interested in is if the Sabres can ever end their drought. I'd love that.
Yeah, here's to that. Carlin, thanks again for your time. Stay well.
You guys too. Thanks again.
Carlin Hartman, his new initiative, Coaches Coalition for Progress. You can follow and read more at CCF Progress. And he is representing Buffalo all the time, as I think he, you know, he showed in our conversation just now. Sal Capaccio, when we return, we'll talk a little bit about Brian Daboll's comments. Is there going to be battle? What will that look like at place kicker for the Bills? And the latest news locally with Sal. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.